Hi, and welcome back to VGI Oncology Podcasts. Today, we're delving into key updates from the AACR 2024 meeting held in San Diego, California. We'll be hearing from key experts who will provide updates from Crystal 1, Flora 2, Edge, and more. First, Scott Kopetz from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center discusses pooled phase 1-2 efficacy and safety data of adagrasib in combination with cetuximab in patients with metastatic colorectal cancer harboring a KRAS G12C mutation.
We're delighted to be able to present the Crystal 1 study, which is a combined analysis of the phase 1 and phase 2 portion of the study looking at adagrasib and cetuximab. This targets the KRAS G12C subset of colorectal cancer combined with an EGFR inhibitor. This regimen has previously been reported out with the efficacy, but this is a report of 94 patients treated with the combination, looking at both response rate as well as safety as the primary endpoints. The study showed a 34% response rate in this population that were heavily pretreated, and with a progression-free survival of 6.9 months and a median overall survival of 15.9.
Next up, Rebecca Porter from Dana-Farber Institute shares findings from a phase 2, two-stage study of a first-in-class antibody-drug conjugate targeting folate receptor alpha in combination with pembrolizumab in patients with microsatellite stable, recurrent, or persistent endometrial cancer.
So this was a phase 2 trial. It was a two-stage design, and we enrolled a total of 16 patients. All patients received the combination of mirvetuximab soravtansine, which is folate receptor alpha-targeting antibody-drug conjugate, and pembrolizumab, an immune checkpoint inhibitor. And there's a lot of preclinical data to support that concept of combining ADCs and immune checkpoint blockade, which was the basis for this study. And this was in patients specifically with serous endometrial cancer that are mismatch repair proficient, so wouldn't be expected to respond well to immunotherapy alone. All patients received the therapy. And I think the notable thing is that the response rate was really favorable for this population of patients, with 6 patients having an objective response, 1 with a confirmed complete response, and then 3 confirmed and 2 unconfirmed partial responses.
Next, Pazi Jani from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute updates us on exploratory analysis results from the FLAURA2 trial in patients with EGFR mutant advanced non-small cell lung cancer treated with first-line osimertinib.
In this analysis, we evaluated the baseline presence of EGFR mutations in circulating tumor DNA and how that changed over during the course of treatment in the FLAURA2 randomized clinical trial. The trial evaluated patients with advanced EGFR mutant lung cancer and were randomized to osimertinib alone or to the combination of osimertinib and platinum-based chemotherapy. What the study showed was that a fair proportion of patients had ctDNA detected at baseline, and the outcome of those patients in general was similar to the outcome of the entire population of the larger trial, in that addition of chemotherapy improved the progression-free survival compared to osimertinib alone. Patients who had detectable ctDNA at baseline, regardless of their treatment, had a worse prognosis than patients who had non-detectable ctDNA at their baseline. And that was true for osimertinib alone or osimertinib chemotherapy. If you look at patients who had detectable ctDNA at baseline, when they got the combination therapy, they did better than osimertinib alone. If they had no detectable ctDNA at baseline, the outcomes in terms of progression-free survival were actually fairly similar between osimertinib alone and the combination, although the combination was a little bit better. We subsequently evaluated changes over time. We know that clearance of ctDNA is a prognostic factor, and we saw that independent of the arm, in about 80% of patients, we could detect ctDNA clearance. Patients who cleared their ctDNA, either with osimertinib alone or osimertinib and chemotherapy, had a better prolonged progression-free survival. These findings are consistent with the larger literature at large, suggesting that detection of ctDNA at baseline is a poor prognostic feature, and that clearance of ctDNA leads to a prolonged improvement in progression-free survival. So it's nice to see this in the context of the randomized clinical trial, there's a suggestion that maybe patients with baseline detectable ctDNA do better than when treated with a combination compared to osimertinib alone, although that was true in the entire patient population as well. So I think we need to continue to study the evolution of ctDNA and how do we end up using that moving forward. There are trials where patients start with osimertinib, and if they don't clear their ctDNA, then patients are randomized to continue osimertinib or the combination of osimertinib and chemotherapy. And I think that will help answer the question of, does intensification during the course of therapy rescue that poor prognostic feature? What we're showing here is that when you get chemotherapy and osimertinib from the beginning, that's better than osimertinib alone in terms of PFS and overall outcomes.
Elizabeth Swisher from Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center shares results from the Early Detection of Genetic Risk trial, which evaluated the implementation of population-based risk assessment for hereditary cancer in primary care.
Yeah, the EDGE trial is a study that we did to try to improve genetic testing uptake in the primary care population. So it was a large study where we involved two different healthcare systems, one a more rural healthcare system called MultiCare and located in Washington State, and the other a more rural healthcare system serving clinics in Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. And in that trial, we did two different approaches to improve genetic testing for cancer risk across 12 clinics from the two different healthcare systems. Yeah, so in the EDGE trial, we found that there are two different approaches. One was point of care, which meant that we evaluated patients face-to-face in clinic or on the phone to screen them with a family history questionnaire versus direct patient engagement, which was reaching out to patients via email or through a letter to ask them to do the family history screen. And the point of care arm screened many more patients, but in the end, the same number of patients completed genetic testing, probably because in the direct patient engagement, people self-selected to be more interested in completing genetic testing in the first place.
Thank you to all of our experts for contributing. If you have found this podcast useful, please leave a review and don't forget to subscribe so you get notified of the latest updates in oncology. And don't forget to visit vjoncology.com for the latest updates from AACR 2024 and more.